Greetings, truth seekers. It is I. No, not Mike Malloy. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike, who is a bit under the weather today. He'll be back with us live on Monday. Hope you don't mind having me sitting in. I'm delighted to be here. Got a huge show lined up for you. Lined up for you tonight. Dennis Kucinich is going to be joining us in a minute to talk about what progressivism in healthcare. Yeah, it's alive and kicking just barely. We're going to get details on that and his fight for single payer. At the crumbs that we're scraping for at this point, maybe the crumbs are that we're allowed to have single payer. Well, we're allowed to let states have single payer if they want it in healthcare. We're going to talk to him about that shortly. Also, Igor Volsky. I got to find out. Igor Volsky? I don't know. Center for American Progress. He's going to talk to us also about healthcare. Almost the first whole hour here, we're going to be talking about healthcare. 877-520-1150 is our phone number, unlike Mike's usual number. So write that down. I'll try to take as many of your calls as I can throughout the night. 877-520-1150. Later, Don Siegelman. Yes, Governor Don Siegelman is going to be joining us and hopefully taking your calls. He is still fighting his case. He's still out on appeal. Some absolutely startling new evidence in his case. His star witness was cajoled, was coached, was threatened by the feds. It's absolutely remarkable. This testimony, looked at it this week, wrote about it at bradblog.com. Cannot believe that this case has not been thrown out yet. Where the hell are you, Eric Holder? Throughout the Ted Stevens case up there in Alaska because of prosecutorial misconduct, the prosecutorial misconduct in this case makes the Ted Stevens case look like jaywalking. It is unbelievable what these guys were doing and the fact that they lied about it to the judge, to the defense team. They didn't turn over material on this guy, and he was, Nick Bailey is the guy's name, he was their star witness. And pretty much it seems to me in reading his declaration that ultimately he kind of made the whole thing up. At least the words that he used were, you know, forced on him by the feds because Nick Bailey was trying to shorten his own sentence. So, yes, we're going to talk to the governor about that. That's going to be coming up next week. The government has to reply to Siegelman's call for a new trial. And frankly, at this rate, he should have a lot more than a new trial. They should vacate the whole damn thing. It's absolutely an outrage. John Bonifaz, the legal director from Voter Action, is going to be here. They are trying and trying to get something moving for election reform. Get rid of the damn machines, the voting machines, the touchscreen machines. A lot of you folks, listeners, may know me, may know BradBlog.com for our coverage of election fraud and most notably electronic voting machines that got to go. So we're going to talk to John Bonifaz about that, the state of legislation right now in the House. Also joining us tonight, A.K. Muckraker, and I got to find out, do we know if she's, we don't know if she may or may not be outed her name. We'll find out. I know her name, and I think she's now, we're allowed to say it. As a matter of fact, for a while, nobody even knew it was a she, I think. But anyway, A.K. Muckraker is going to join us to speak about, yes, the soon-to-be former Governor Sarah Palin, who aborted her first term in order to become, apparently, a celebrity community organizer. And apparently, she is not. She's staying true to form. She's lying on her way out the door. She's facing more ethics charges. It looks to me, as I wrote about yesterday at Brad Blog, it looks to me like her lawyer, and possibly her, have defamed the woman, Kim Chapman, who filed one of the ethics charges that were brought against her, one of the ethics complaints that were brought against Sarah Palin, the one in which it was found a probable cause was found, according to a leaked report this week, that she used her her office for personal gain in her legal defense fund. So we're going to talk about that. We got plenty to talk about. And your calls all here today. 877-520-1150 is our phone number. I think we're Dennis, is that the congressman calling in on the line? I think it is. So we will have him in a minute. You know, it's amazing that we are stuck at this point talking about the single payer and trying to get permission from Congress to allow states to enact single payer if they want. And this is what Congressman Kucinich had to get through a committee last week. I believe he was successful in having done that. Whether it stays in the bill before it gets passed, I don't know. At this rate, I don't think anybody, and I think anybody who tells you what's going to be in that final health care bill is probably a liar. Harry Reid, however, I almost said speaking of liars, but I won't. Harry Reid, because I don't think he's not a liar. He just needs to be replaced as majority leader in the Senate. He said today that they are not, in fact, going to be able to get health care done prior to the August break when President Obama had asked them to do so. So it's going to be more like September, October, fall, if at all, because there is a full court press now from the Republicans, a misinformation campaign, an extraordinary misinformation campaign from the Republicans. They don't give a damn about health care. All they give a damn about is killing it. And I thought if you watched the press conference last night, Barack Obama was, well, he could have been a lot he has not cashed in his political capital yet. Let's put it that way. He could have been a lot stronger on this. He was quite gentle, I think, when they asked him about the Republicans and their attempts to kill this bill. And he said his concern was the misinformation that is going out there. Well, it's a lot more than misinformation. It is a full court press to kill healthcare, to do anything they can to kill healthcare reform in this country. I personally find that outrageous. I find it appalling. I find the fact that the Democrats really aren't out there calling the Democrats on this, calling them for what it is that they're actually doing. That's what the Democrats need to be. But the Democrats' own house ain't clean either, particularly when it comes to the Blue Dogs. A report out today shows that the Blue Dog Democrats are rolling in money this year. Yeah, the so-called conservative Democrats, they're not conservative. They're corporatist Democrats. Apparently 54% of the money that they're bringing in, these Blue Dog Democrats, comes from the healthcare industry, the the energy companies and the banking sector, 54% of their money. So I wonder what side they're going to fall on when it comes to energy legislation, healthcare legislation, and of course the banking industry. Just take a guess. Well, you know, and frankly, they're not the worst of it. I mean, the Republicans are the worst of it, but it's not only the Blue Dog Democrats. The rank-and-file Democrats, unfortunately, aren't as strong as they ought to be. They ought to be out there. They ought to be raising hell. And really, they're not. They're playing it nice. I don't think they yet know who it is that they're dealing with. And the lengths to which these guys, these Republicans and their buddies in the healthcare industry are willing to go to kill healthcare reform altogether. That's it. They're not fighting for their own health care. As a matter of fact, today it came out that the promise of an alternative plan, the Republicans had promised to, they said they were drafting their own, the GOP was going to draft their own health bill. Nope, not so much. They made it up. They ain't going to present a plan at all. Congressman Kucinich is now joining us, I think, from Ohio. Congressman, how are you, sir?
Good evening from Washington, D.C. We're still in session.
Oh, okay. Oh, man, you're still in session. Now, I thought you were out there, actually, with Obama in Ohio. Wasn't he in Ohio today?
President was in Ohio today, but since the House was in session, this is where I work, so... well, we had, like, 20 votes this afternoon, so I was... I was here.
Well, I'm glad you were there doing it because, frankly, Congressman, without you to try to push for some kind of progressivism, some kind of scraps, some kind of crumbs, give me a sense. I know you fought last week in committee to get the approval for a single payer to allow states to have single payer if they want. Is that about the best that we can ask for in regards to single payer in this health care reform, Congressman?
Well, I mean, if the country wasn't in shackles formed by the insurance companies, we would be able to have a single payer system embodied in H.R. 676, the bill I drafted with John Conyers, that is Medicare for All. But the amendment that I was able to get, the Kucinich Amendment to the Education and Labor Committee, makes it possible for states to be able to form their own single-payer system and take care of the broad-based health care needs of people at a state level if they don't like the federal plan. And frankly, this would be very powerful if we were able to keep this in the bill, and that's what we're fighting to do right now.
If that provision, if that amendment was not able to stay in the bill, it's not a matter of, well, would the bill say that you could not have a single-payer option?
No, here's the way it works. There, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, ERISA, has a provision in it that says that any states that all states have to have uniform employer-related benefits. They can't have a motley collection of different plans.
Right.
And so there's a number of case law. There's case law and there's emerging cases that have interpreted ERISA as basically barring states from having a single-payer plan. So what I did was to write an amendment that would give the states a waiver from the ERISA provision that says that federal law preempts state law on employee-related health care plans. And so in doing this, we set the stage for states to be able to go into the single-payer, not-for-profit health care business. And this is a big deal because there are a dozen states who have various stages of single payer activity going on, and if the federal government's plan doesn't meet the experiential approval of people, states will be ready in the wings to produce their own plan.
And what are the chances at this point that that provision that passed in that one committee, that it's actually going to be able to make it through all the way through this bill and until it gets signed? Is there?
Well, it may help save the bill, you know, because there's many provisions in the bill that people are having difficulty with, such as the fact that we're going to be giving the insurance companies tens of millions more customers. We're going to be requiring people to have insurance. There'll be there'll be 17 million Americans who are not going to be covered for various reasons. And the bill has some problems, but if the provision was in that bill to permit states to go forward with their own experimentation and create a single-payer system, that would, I think, cure a lot of the problems of the bill because it would give states the ability to bounce back and create something better than the federal government has created, will create.
And you feel the Progressive Caucus would come along if that stayed in the bill in general?
Well, I can't speak for the Progressive Caucus on this because there's, you know, and frankly, since we don't have a bill and it keeps changing, my guess is that this state single-payer provision could be decisive in helping the bill pass because there's so many different levels of negotiation going on right now, and every level that I'm hearing about is not particularly favorable towards a healthcare bill that's going to meet the broad-based healthcare needs of the American people.
Okay, and I know you got to go, so very quickly, Congressman Kucinich, what is it that Americans can do? I know that Republicans are a problem, but the Democrats are a problem here. Who do we pressure? Who do we call? How do we take action to make sure that at least your provision stays in?
Well, this is going to be up to individual members of Congress, and it's going to be very important for people to call their individual member of Congress and ask member to make an effort to keep the Kucinich Amendment in the final bill. and some of them may need to be instructed that it was an amendment to the Education and Labor Bill version of H.R. 3200, which is the health care legislation that the Obama administration is trying to guide through Congress.
So if we tell them, keep the Kucinich Amendment, they'll know what that means.
State single payer.
And single payer. You got
it. State single payer.
State single payer, right.
And I want to thank your listeners and you for your steadfast support of health care as a basic human right. Thank you so much.
And thank you for what you did in New Hampshire last year, fighting for every vote. Much appreciated. Congressman Dennis Kucinich from Ohio's 10th District. Keep up the good fight, my friend. Brad Friedman in for Malloy. Back right after this. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Wait, I hope to get it up to that doctor, give me the news, but, you know, we'll make it up as we go along, right, Tony? All right, Brad, in for Malloy tonight, all night long. We ran late in that last segment with Congressman Kucinich. It is his fault. He's late. He's always late. That's what you get from these progressives. You can't trust them. Anyway, so we're going to got a very short segment here. Then we're back with Igor Volsky, and we will try to take your calls along with Igor, talking about health care for the rest of this hour. 877-520-1150 is our special number. Live from Los Angeles tonight, in for Malloy, who is out sick. But he will be back on Monday, never fear. So we are broadcasting from Burbank, California. Lovely, beautiful Hollywood, California. So we have a different number, 877-520-1150. Igor Volsky from the Center for American Progress. We're going to find out what the hell is going on with healthcare. Will we ever actually get it? Oh, and then Don Governor Siegelman is coming up in the next hour after that. Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead. Brad, in for Malloy. I see you got to let it play, Tony. No? You need my love, baby. Come on, keep it, get out, keep it rocking. There you go.
You're not the only one I've ever had.
What? It's Kiss. It's got to, you know, here we go. It's coming up now. Here we go. Here you go. Crank it. That's right. Here I am. Dr. Love, Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Tonight and tomorrow, Mike's out sick, but he will be back in good form next week. We're talking healthcare. Speaking of which, Malloy is, he's out sick, so we're talking about healthcare. Igor Volsky is going to be joining us momentarily from the Center for American Progress. Healthcare all this hour, along with your calls, 877-520-1150, Governor Siegelman, and much more coming up in the next hour. In the meantime, you're invited to the Chevy Open House. We've made it easy to get into a new Chevy with low, straightforward pricing on remaining 08 and 09 models. It's simple. The price on the tag is the price you pay. Well, that is simple. Go to Chevy.com/openhouse for details. Excludes Corvette ZR1 at participating dealers only. Come on, people. We got cars to move. All right. Speaking with, where are we here? Igor, there we go. Igor Volsky. And let me make sure I've got that right. There we go. Hey, Igor. It's Igor, not Igor, correct?
Igor, yes.
All right. Igor Volsky is a healthcare researcher and blogger at American Progress, focusing on healthcare issues. He's also a contributor, along with our friend Faz Shakir, I should add, also from the Center for American Progress, to Howard Dean's Prescription for real health care reform, how we can achieve affordable medical care for every American and make our jobs safer. That's a long book title.
Yeah, you got the whole subtitle in there, too. I'm impressed.
Well, wanted to get it in. I think it's actually that's the important part, frankly, making it affordable and making our jobs safer, because right now this has become little more than a political hot potato. And I'm going to talk about with you, Igor, some of that, some of the politics here. But for the moment, if I can, it's not easy, but let's move that aside. The bill that is currently being worked on, let's say it gets passed. Are we going to have real health care reform in this country? Is it going to make a difference? Are you impressed with what the actual bill says, setting aside the politics?
Well, as you know, there are several bills. There's one bill out of the Health Committee in the Senate. There's a bill, the Tri-Committee bill in the House, and we're still waiting on a version from the Senate Finance Committee.
Right.
I think the bill from the House is probably our best chance at getting real reform, and as we write in the book, real reform has to include a public option. It has to give people a choice between private and public coverage. And not just any kind of public option, but a public option that can really lower costs, insert competition into the marketplace, and bring about the kinds of innovations and payments that will help make sure that we don't increase the deficit with reform in the long term, to make sure it's sustainable, to make sure that we pay providers for giving quality care, not just quantity of care. And a public option is really, you know, the cornerstone for achieving all of those goals. So I think any reform has to include a public option. The president has said so just as recently as Monday. He
right.
hosted a call of bloggers, and he said he wants to see a robust public option. Now, we don't know what the Senate Finance Committee is planning. We know that Max Baucus is being slammed by fellow Democrats. We're being a bit secretive. So we'll see what they come up with, but I think we're all encouraged, and we're very encouraged when the House bill came out, because it had a good public plan.
And what happened, the fact that we're fighting for a public option versus single payer, was something that was just never going to happen? Single payer was never on anybody's real radar in Congress? Is that just gone?
I think that's right. And as the president has said, if we're rebuilding a system from scratch, then maybe single payer would be a good place to start. But given that we have about 160 million Americans in employer-based coverage, it's very difficult just logistically to move all of those people into some kind of government-run plan. So I think it's unrealistic politically. It's logistically problematic. You're going to have millions of people falling through the cracks. So I think that this hybrid approach that the president has proposed, where he builds up what works in the system, mm-hmm. the employer model, and he patches up what doesn't, the individual market, is really kind of the best we can do in this kind of environment.
All right, and let's move on a little bit to the politics here. And by the way, we'll take your calls if we can fit them in. 877-520-1150. And I'm told I keep forgetting to mention, go to bradblog.com. If you like, we've got an open thread at the very top of the blog. Just hit the comments section and then keep hitting refresh, and you can play along at home. And I'll do my best to keep an eye on that. Agent 99 is your lovely hostess there tonight, as always. The public option, are you confident at this point, at least, that the public option is going to stay in there? I know that Obama has said that he said that he wants one. I don't know that I heard him say he's insisting on one. But are we confident that that is going to be in whatever does come out in the end?
We're hopeful, I think. And again, it depends what kind of public option we'll get. Remember, the Senate bill, the health bill, also has a public option.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as robust as the House version. So I think the bill that's going to come out of conference is going to be tricky, and I think we'll have to wait and see. I think whatever comes out, we won't see a Medicare-like program, which is what we're hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll see something that will move us in that direction.
And who's the real? You know, we know what the Republicans are doing. We know that they want to see this killed. They have no interest in any kind of health reform whatsoever. To them, it's a political game, period, and they think they can somehow that they'll win if they keep any kind of health care reform.
Orrin Hatch said just today that this will be a great victory for us in 2012 if we defeat the president on health care reform. It's politics, pure and simple.
Which is amazing because Chuck Grassley has also noted, and I think it was at Think Progress today, that there's a new poll out showing that people are blaming the health care companies and the Republicans in huge numbers if health care doesn't pass. So I'm not sure it's such a great victory for them, frankly, if they do manage to kill this thing.
I think that's right.
But setting them aside, because we know they're against it, we know they want to kill it, is the real problem here really the Blue Dog Democrats, the so-called conservative, and they're not conservative, they're corporatists, but are they the real holdup here, and will the Blue Dogs come around?
The Blue Dogs are certainly part of the problem. You have this interesting dynamic where the Blue Dogs say that they want to control costs and they want to make sure they bend the curve, you know, make sure that health reform doesn't add to long-term deficits. But then many of them, some support the public option, but many of them oppose the public option, which would do just that. It would lower costs. And again, that's not just me talking or Jacob Hacker or the many progressives who have, you know, who have put forth this idea of public option that would increase competition, that would lower premium rates.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Congressional Budget Office, which said in their analysis of the House bill that the public option would reduce premiums by 10%. So we know it's going to control costs. It's going to save about $150 billion. That's a rough estimate that's been reported. And the Blue Dogs, officially, their official position is that they're against it. So you have this interesting contradiction where, A, they say they want to control costs, but then they refuse to vote and support policies that do just that.
Well, yeah, exactly, because, and that was sort of my point when I say they're not conservative. It's not about, look, I'm happy to see that there, frankly, is someone holding the firewall and saying, look, we need to, you know, stick with pay as you go. We can't increase the deficit. Is there a way that we can do this by lowering costs, et cetera, et cetera? That's fine, and I'm glad there's someone legitimately in there fighting for that. But that's not the sense that I get from the Blue Dogs. As you suggest, I think there's something else going on here that they are such in the pockets of these healthcare companies that maybe they join with the Republicans, frankly, and would be just as happy if this didn't pass.
I think you're right. Given the fact that 14,000 Americans are losing coverage every single day.
Every day.
So now we're saying we're not going to get reform. We're not going to pass anything in the Senate before the recess. So that means that if you count between recess to Labor Day, that's about 500,000 Americans who are going to lose their coverage. And I think when these Congress people go back to their districts and they hear about the trouble their constituents are having with affording health care, with finding affordable health care, keeping their plans,
mm-hmm.
I think that maybe they'll realize that something has to be done. But ultimately, everyone has a choice, and the choice is their constituents or insurance companies. And as you point out, too many Democrats and most Republicans right now are choosing the insurance companies.
Yeah, I think they are, and I hope that folks will give them hell when they come home for their August recess and let them hear about it and tell them enough is enough of this crap. Hey, Igor, you want to stick around and take some calls on this with me after the break? Awesome. Igor Volsky from the Center for American Progress, healthcare researcher and blogger over there. He's going to be with us here for the rest of the hour, along with your calls. If you're on the line, got a bunch of callers, stay right there. We will try to get to you. Governor Siegelman coming up next hour and John Bonifaz of Voter Action. Oh, it's a big, big show. I'm Brad, in for Malloy, back with much more right after this. Wake him up, Tony. Brad Friedman in for Malloy on the Mike Malloy program. Good stuff. I like it. It's not too late for that. We'll slow it down in the next hour or two, maybe, if we're in the mood. Brad Friedman in for Malloy, speaking with Igor Volsky of the Center for American Progress. And let me get him back on and let's take some calls here. If I can figure, you know, last time I was in, the folks over at DU, the Truth Seekers over there, they were making fun of me because I couldn't operate the phones. Yeah, see, I'm watching you Truth Seekers over there at DU. Watch your step. Igor, would you like to take some calls?
Please.
All right. Let me get to, Tennessee is perfect. Tennessee. Ellen in Cookeville, Tennessee. You got some blue dogs down there. Welcome to the Malloy Show, Ellen.
Oh, do we ever?
Yeah, I'll say. And you need to, and they're coming home, by the way, in a couple of weeks. Remember, kick their asses, Ellen.
Well, believe me, I do it. Okay. I do it here locally and in Call DC, but we've got a pretty hopeless one actually down here. But listen, I enjoy when you fill in, Brad. I have enjoyed listening to you in the past, and I really wanted to call on the topic tonight because I heard a gentleman by the name of Bruce Dixon talking about an article he had just written, and I'd like to just mention if anyone interested would Google Black Agenda. That's all you have to Google. The first hit will come up, the Black Agenda Report. And the main article, the name of it is the Obama health care plan really better than nothing? It was posted on 7/22. It is excellent. And I'm sorry I can't be quite as hopeful as the gentleman from Center for American Progress. This was a really well written article, and I hope you and your listeners will, check it out. But it really.
Well, give us the skinny. What's the case that it makes? Very quickly, Alan.
In a nutshell, of course, I'm a single payer person anyway, and so anything less than that, I wouldn't be totally satisfied. But it's just pointing out, Brad, that this bill, the tri-committee bill that he's talking about, the House bill, has a very puny and very weak little public option. Plan in it. For instance, this plan is instead of covering about 130 million people, it's shrunk to only 10 million. About what they're projecting to bring into it. That doesn't start till 2013 as far as even trying to put it together. And he tells a lot of history. For instance,
all right, actually, don't go into the history, Ellen, because I got a bunch of other callers I want to get to, and I want to get Igor's thoughts on that.
He just makes some really excellent points. And what I'm saying is we need to push them more to the left and to get a stronger public option.
Thanks for that call.
I hope you all may read this, and what you do, we just keep on these folks is what we need to do.
Thanks, Alan. I appreciate that. You can go to blackagendareports.com and get more on that. Igor, your thoughts? Is the Obama health care plan really better than nothing?
Well, I think it is really better than nothing. Alan, the caller, is right that the new public option will only see about 10 million people. The exchange as a whole will see 30, so we'll see 20 million in private insurance within the new exchange and 10 million in a public plan. I don't think that's a bad deal. I think making sure that 97% of Americans, and that's what the CBO says, that under the House bill, 97% of Americans will now be insured, is better than what we have today. Is it perfect? It's not. Is it viable? I think it is.
And I'm with you on that. While I think we need a more progressive option, I think the trick here ultimately is getting something done, making the sea change, bringing the reform, and I guess if you have to improve it later, so be it. Let's go to John in North Hollywood, listening on K-Talk AM 1150. Hey, John, welcome to the Malloy Show. What's up?
Hello. Well, I just have to say that that 10 or 30 million people being represented in the health care reform, that's not enough.
Yeah,
it's going to be more than that. That's not enough. That's not good enough. What I wanted to say, though, in calling, was that this health care reform seems to represent a sort of, deprivatization that's going on. It's a deprivatization of the healthcare industry in this country.
Deprivatization, okay.
Yes.
Right.
And also, it's a justice issue in terms of looking at it instead of a privilege, a right.
Yep.
Now, way I look at this Harry Reid comment, they're waiting for their vacation after their vacation,
right.
And even listening to Igor talk about how 30 million is good enough for now. No, I don't agree with that because justice delayed is justice denied.
And if the alternative, John, were that we got no health care reform, would that be better?
Oh, obviously not. But one of the things that I wish to suggest to people in this country, the listeners, is that it might be a good idea if a little pressure, more pressure, were brought to bear upon the our representatives in Washington.
Well, which is what I say, John.
By making them stay in session during their vacation.
Sounds good to me, John. I got to roll along. Thanks. Keep them in session. That sounds like a fine idea to me. I doubt that it's going to happen. Your thoughts, Igor? I heard you mention that it was going to be more than 10 million that got insured by this. You felt.
Well, Brad, just to be clear, 30 million people will be in the new exchange. We're also expanding Medicaid. So we're going to have millions of Americans in Medicaid, and we're going to have more Americans in employer-based coverage.
Yeah.
By 2017, the number of Americans in employer coverage will increased by about 2 million, so that in total we'll have 97% of all Americans insured. So it's more than that 30 million number. That 30 million is only about the exchange. Now, in terms of Harry Reid, it's troubling. It's a setback, no question. The president wanted to get it done by August, and now it looks like we're going to have to wait. But I think that it's easy to get lost in kind of the day-to-day media coverage of who's up, who's down, which
right.
Blue Dog opposes this. I think stepping back for a moment and seeing that the Health Committee passed the bill. We had a bill go through two committees in the House. The AMA endorsed reform. Target joined Walmart in supporting an employer mandate. These are all serious accomplishments on the way to reform. So I think we're headed in the right direction. We're moving along, and now it's just that final push. And as I think the president said last night, that's where it gets difficult when you get close.
Yeah, you're right, and I do recognize that, you know, what a huge effort this truly is. Whether we succeed at it, whether what we get is better than what we got now, remains to be seen. But it is an extraordinary effort. To that end, I'll give them, an inch, but not more. In the meantime, I'm looking at the callers we're not going to be able to get to, but, Frank says single payer is bad, France is better, AC says the fix is in, Obama is compromised, Steve says Congress doesn't care and it won't matter. I think there's a lot of angry people out there, Igor, and they want
absolutely
something done here.
And I hope they hold this Congress and this president to the fire.
Thank you, sir. Igor Volsky, healthcare researcher at Center for American Progress. Thank you, my friend. Good talking to
you.
Thank you,
Brad.
All right. Back with much more, including Don Siegelman, right after this.